Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The Museum of Science often sounds like a playground. It's a Tuesday morning, and buses of kids are unloading, filling the main lobby with squeals of delighted children.
Watch out for the little one.
Tim Ritchie is giving me a tour. He joined the museum as its new president earlier this month. Ritchie previously ran the Tech Interactive, a science and technology center in Silicon Valley, and the McWane Science Center in Birmingham, Alabama. We start in the largest exhibition floor at the museum, the Blue Wing, which is about to undergo a massive renovation.
So we are standing in the Blue Wing of the Museum of Science, and in front of us are students coming in for their field trips, and they're beginning through the engineering design workshop, which is a highly iterative experience where they're, in this particular case, designing a claw to pick stuff up. But the whole point of that is that the way you inspire the innovator in a young person or any person is you give them a problem to solve.
Then we wander over to Wicked Smart. It features inventions created locally in and around Boston.
This is a good example of how technology and art can come together and create something absolutely delightful.
He's talking about the particle mirror, one part video screen, one part a sort of interactive holograph.
You can see them pushing what looks like particles of light. How awesome is that, that you could actually move light with your own hands? Obviously, you're not actually moving light, but it seems like they're moving light, sharing sound, and so it's just delight.
The mirror was created by Cambridge-based digital media artist and computer graphics research scientist Carl Sims, and I have to admit, it's pretty cool.
Actually, the kids have just walked away, so why don't we try it ourselves? You can move it. We can kick it at each other.
I can,
That's right.
Splash you with the light.
You know, when you come to a place like Museum of Science, you will have some experiences that are just full of joy, some that are contemplative, some that are difficult. And what we want to have is as many experiences as possible like that, and some that are current science. So these kids are walking in front of us. They have no question how to interact with this. One of the great things in the Boston area is all the advances in AI, robotics, biotech. So this would be an example of something that was built at MIT called a cheetah, but there's also Boston Dynamics here. There's so many things that when you see it on the floor, you're just like, oh my goodness, I had no idea we could do that.
So we're standing in front of a display of the cheetah robot, and we're watching some videos of that cheetah robot in action, and it's one part technological miracle, and one part looks like something out of a Terminator movie.
Yes, exactly.
And terrifying in that way.
Yes.
What is an institution like the Museum of Science's role, not only in featuring what we can do, but in helping have a conversation about what we should do?
Yes. That is actually a very important conversation to me. Because there's so much at stake right now. Technology will always do what it wants to do, which is to solve a problem. But it will not make us wise or brave or kind or good. And so to have that conversation about the ethical imagination here at the Museum of Science is really important. How do you communicate that in exhibits? There can be some Q&A type stuff. There's some partnerships with ethics. I think we have talks here. But especially as we head toward what's going to happen with CRISPR and what's going to happen with AI, artificial intelligence. These are things that the human species has never seen before. We can actually change the species itself. That's never happened before in human history.
Doesn't that put a certain amount of obligation on the Museum of Science to be bringing adults into the building, into conversations, into engagement in a different way than maybe the museum's been known for historically?
Yeah, I will call it an opportunity. You're right, it is an obligation. But I think one way to ask the question is, who in this community has a platform that's trusted enough by everybody to have that conversation? And the answer is the Museum of Science. So that's one of our great opportunities. Adults are here quite a bit. There's a lot of adult programming, but there could be a lot more, and especially because the biotech industry in this community is the hottest in the world. It is an opportunity, and it really may be an obligation.
Do you think belief in science is under threat in our country?
Yes. I think belief in truth is under threat. Belief in facts is under threat. I think a desire to comport your life with evidence is under threat. With the ubiquity of knowledge and evidence, you would think that would make us more evidence-based. It's actually made us less evidence-based because you can find whatever you want to justify what you believe. So it's under threat not because of too little information. It's under threat because the information that's out there is not curated very well. And the Museum of Science can curate information and challenge us to live evidence-based lives.
One recent report suggested that more than 1,000 scientists have resigned from the federal government in the last 3 years.
Yes.
What's the role of an institution like the Museum of Science in encouraging, demanding, promoting the use of science in our institutions as a part of our policy, our decision making?
I'm pausing on how to answer that question simply because it's not just about the facts, it's how we do that. So our responsibility is not only to robustly stand up and say we want to live evidence-based lives and comport ourselves with the evidence, we also want to do it in a way that's hopeful and whimsical at times and full of joy, to say the future can be bright. This is what we can build. So our obligation is not only to robustly stand up for that, but it's not so much the fighting posture, which I think we naturally tend to the fighting posture. It's the joyful posture.
As we're talking, this group of young boys who's come into the museum is looking at the cheetah, first finding out it's, thinking it's a dog, finding out it's a cheetah, and marveling around the appearance and the technology of it.
So one of the great things any museum will do, whether it's an art museum or a tech museum or a science museum, is it will help people realize that things aren't what they seem. And that opens their mind to think of things differently because it challenges their assumptions about the way things are.
But challenging those assumptions costs. One of the biggest barriers to accessing the museum, which Richie freely acknowledges, is money. Tickets range from $24 to $29, plus extra fees for some exhibits. That's more expensive than other science centers, including those Richie has run in the past. When we sit down in a more quiet room overlooking the Charles River, I ask Richie what he plans to do about that barrier.
It is a challenge, and it is a solvable one. I think about it all the time because what matters to me most is equal access, or equitable access, rather, to science literacy, because that is going to be the tool that people need to be successful in the future. And I don't want to be in a society where people are easily left behind. So it is something the Museum of Science needs to address. The nice thing about it is that it's a solvable problem, one we can address. And the other thing that people should understand about it is that it's a problem that every science center in the country is dealing with.
What does it mean you have to do?
There are a lot of ways to answer that question. But I think the most obvious thing is we need to increase our endowment so that we can take the pressure off. Right now, 30% of our operating budget comes from admissions fees. So we aren't anywhere close to what it would cost to run the place just based on earned revenue. Having said that, I agree. It is too expensive.
What does a daring aspiration look like?
A daring aspiration for the Museum of Science is to reduce all barriers to access. So reducing all barriers of access to the Museum of Science, and there are more than just financial barriers, by the way, and to our programs out in the community, to reduce them so that it eliminates the need to charge admission. That would be a daring aspiration. That's not enough, though, because if people can have access to the Museum of Science, it doesn't mean all the people in this community will have access to STEM literacy. So I think we dare to aspire not only to eliminate barriers to access to the Museum of Science, but we dare to be a part of a community-wide Boston compact that eliminates barriers to STEM literacy to anybody. Those are two high things that I think we should aspire to.
What would a first year as a successful CEO look like to you? You're looking back a year from now.
The most important thing we need to do is achieve alignment on vision. What positive difference do we want to make in the world? So we have our 200th anniversary coming up in 10 years. I want us all to be aligned at the board level, the staff level, and the community level on one question. How will the world be different in positive ways 10 years from now because the Museum of Science exists? And then there are two other questions. How will the world be different in positive ways 30 years from now, 100 years from now, because the Museum of Science exists? If we're aligned on that vision, then everything else will line up. I think there are other important things. I think we need to rebuild a sense of trust and joy and belief that science can solve problems, especially the climate issue, but also on how we live humanely with each other. So a successful year would be a sense that the Museum of Science is a place where you can emerge with hope and optimism about the future of the human prospect.
2019 was a tumultuous year for the museum. There was a reduction of staff of 29 positions over the summer by the interim CEO. 21 of those were through early retirement, 8 were through layoffs. There was some reporting of controversy during a restructuring in November where employees suggested that they were feeling pressured to achieve sales goals and get more revenue from people coming into the museum. So two questions. One, is it unusual for an institution like this to have something like sales goals, especially given the vision that you've just laid out? And two, how do you address those disruptions as you work to create a unified vision and everyone pulling in the same direction this next year?
It is very common for institutions like the Museum of Science to have sales goals. That's very common. I think what to pay attention to in the stories that were in the Globe is there's obviously some kind of breakdown of trust. Trust is always important. Business moves at the speed of trust. The community has to trust us. The institution has to trust each other. And I think that that really is a challenge of two things: alignment on vision and transparency. So if you have alignment on what it is you're trying to accomplish and transparency on how you're going to get there, then you can make difficult choices that will at least be trusted, even if they're disagreed about.
Last question. Is there anything particularly special that you think you bring with your experience, your perspective, your background, that you're excited to share with the community and with the Museum of Science as its new leader?
I've devoted my whole life to enabling people who are vulnerable to achieve their potential. So I work with adults with disabilities. I worked in public housing. I worked as a lawyer with people on death row. In each case, the whole point was to enable people to achieve their potential, whatever it was, if they had a disability or if they could get off of death row or if they could achieve some success getting out of public housing. What I want to push the Museum of Science to do is to measure itself not by whether it is a strong and enduring institution, but by whether it creates a better community where it enables people who are born on the wrong side of the opportunity gap to cross the opportunity gap and to achieve their potential. That's what my leadership has always been in the past, and that's what I wanted to be about here.
That's Tim Ritchie, the new head of the Museum of Science. Thanks for giving us a tour and spending time with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And by the way, earlier in that conversation, we talked about a cheetah robot on display at the museum. Radio Boston spoke with the creator of that robot, Songbae Kim, director of MIT's Biomimetic Robotics Laboratory. He says the robot imitates the movement of animals like the cheetah in nature. We'll have a link to that conversation within our post about this segment on our website, radioboston.org.